Before Derek comes, let's read Luke 11:28 together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
That is what makes the difference, isn't it? During Christmas time, not just Christ around us, not just Christ or emblems of him when we go see Christmas lights. No, what makes the difference at Christmas time is Christ in us. It's Christ in us. In fact, it's Christ, it's God in us that makes the difference in all of life. It's what makes the difference for men. It's what makes the difference for women. It's what makes the difference for boys and girls. And I don't think it's happenstance that in our journey through Hebrews 11, we're now in verse 32. And this week, we see the faith of Barak, not to be confused with Obama. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 tells us of the faith of Barak. And the reason why Barak was able to faithfully fulfill God's calling for his life was because of Christ in him, because of God in him, because of the Holy Spirit upon him. But when we think about the life of Barak, if you know your Bible well, you'll remember that that takes us back to the Old Testament book of Judges again. And last week we saw the faith of Gideon. This week we're going to see the faith of Barak, but not only Barak. There's a woman that we meet in Judges chapter 4 and 5 that's connected to the story of Barak. And her name, do you remember? Is Deborah. And Deborah was a godly, wise, courageous, bold woman. She too was a woman of faith. In fact, the Bible says in Judges chapter 5, I think it's verse 7, that Deborah was a mother in Israel. She was a mother in Israel. So this morning, I want to talk about Mary and Deborah, the mothers of God's people. Now, I bet you've never heard a Christmas message on the book of Judges, especially chapter 4 and 5, and particularly about Deborah. But I want you to see that what made the difference for Deborah is the same thing that made the difference for Mary. And so, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32 says, "And what more shall I say, for time would fail me to tell of Barak?" And this takes us back to Judges chapter 4 and 5, and in Judges 5, verse 7, we read, Deborah says, "I arose, I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel." And so mothers, arise. Women, arise. Girls, arise. The Christmas story is all about Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. But do not forget that God, the Holy Spirit, came upon a woman. Because God has made men and women equally in his image. And God desires to use both men and women, boys and girls, for his glory and praise. And the Holy Spirit can come upon and rest upon women just as powerfully as he can for men. In fact, God had a calling for Deborah. And God had a calling for Mary. And Mary's calling was to carry God the Son inside of her. And that's what made the difference. It was the baby in her womb that made the difference in Mary's life and the difference in Mary's faith and the difference in Mary's courage and the difference in Mary's strength. I think sometimes it can be easy especially in the South, for us to undermine the work of God through our sisters in Christ. And I want you to see this morning that God the Father has a calling for women and men, and God the Holy Spirit can come upon women and men with gifts, and God the Son is the Savior of both women and men, and God the Son is what makes the difference. And so women, arise. Rise up, and like Deborah, and yes, like Mary, lead. And don't just lead in the home if you have children, which you should lead in the home if you have children. And don't just think about how to lead your grandchildren, though certainly you ought to be leading your grandchildren. What I want you to see in Mary and in Deborah is that there is a place of leadership, even in the family of God, for women. And so, yes, men ought to step up like Barack and lead, but women also are called to step up and lead, not just, though certainly in the home, but also for the people of God as spiritual mothers. And mothers, you know this, right? The best ones are leaders. So, in Judges chapter 4 through 5, and we're going to connect it to the Christmas story at the end, you're going to read a lot of details and a lot of names, so let me prepare you before we read it together. In Judges chapter 4, you're going to meet Barak and his wife Michelle. I'm kidding. All right? We're going to meet Barak, not Obama. And we're also going to meet Deborah and another woman. Her name was Jael or Jael. She's an interesting woman, which God used as well to fight the battle against the enemies of God and the enemies of his people. You're not only going to meet Jael, which you're going to love her. She was really brave and strong. She was a courageous and tactical woman. You're also going to meet one of the enemies of God, who was fighting as a general for the Canaanites. His name was Sisera. And Sisera, things seemingly start out well for him as he opposes God and God's people, but eventually it goes downhill for Sisera very quickly. You're also going to meet Deborah's husband, which I think is very interesting that, yes, Deborah was a leader, but she also had a husband. His name was Lapidoth. And Lapidoth, I'm sure, actually encouraged and empowered his wife, though in the home, he was the head of his home. And so how can a woman, this is great, isn't it? How can a woman like Deborah joyfully submit to the loving leadership of Lapidoth in the home and, empowered by the Holy Spirit, lead in some ways as a mother in Israel, the people of God as a whole? And so we tend to think of those things as in opposition to each other, but the Bible doesn't think that way. So there's so many other details, but I hope that's enough to at least get you started in understanding Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. We're going to read the entire chapter of 4 and then just a few verses in chapter 5. Chapter 4 is the prose. Chapter 4 is the narrative. Chapter 4 is the story. Chapter 4 tells us the details of what happens. But we move from prose in chapter 4 to poetry in chapter 5. In fact, it's a song. It's a song of Deborah and a song of Barak in response to God giving them victory over their enemies, in response to God giving them victory over oppression, they sing. And so when I'm finished with this message about 3 hours from now, Seth is going to come up and lead us in another song, and we're going to sing about God's victory for us and through us and in us through Christ. So, would you stand with me? You can take out the outline that you received when you came in. It has all the scripture that I'm going to be reading and walking us through today. But we're going to start. You'll see it even on the screen behind me. It's pretty long, and so try to follow along with me. When I get to the big words, I'm just going to read them really fast so you think I actually know how to pronounce them, even if I don't. All right, verse 1. Before we read, let's pray. Father, I pray, even as we read this story this morning, that you would awaken our hearts to more of your glory, to more of your beauty, to more of your work, to more of your power. And Lord, I pray that in this room, both men and women, boys and girls would arise, that your sons and your daughters would prophesy, that your sons and your daughters would lead in ways appropriate under your authority. And so we all, men and women, boys and girls, joyfully submit to your authority, and we want to rightly serve according to the calling that you have for us each individually, both male and female, and in your kingdom and in your church, O God. And so speak to us, I pray, individually and corporately by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Verse 1. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops. And I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak in Zananim, which is near Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, verse 13, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent, here she is, of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin and king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid." So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say, 'No.'" But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Now that's the prose. Chapter 5 is the poetry. It's the song. Listen to it. Just a few verses. Verse 1 of Judges chapter 5. "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water." Verse 7, "I arose, I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel." Verse 12, "Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, break out in a song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, O son of Abinoam." Then down marched the remnant of the noble. "The people of the Lord marched down for me against the mighty." Verse 24, "Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl." It's a song. It's a weird song, I know. Verse 26, "She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple." You probably won't hear that song on many of the Christian stations. Verse 27, "Between her feet, he sank, he fell, he lay still between her feet. He sank, he fell, where he sank, there he fell, dead." Verse 31, "So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might." And the land had, can you say that word with me? Rest 40 years. You can be seated. Wow! Have you read that before? Now, here's the deal. The people of Israel had done evil once again in the sight of the Lord. This was the recurring pattern in their life, right? And sadly, it can often be the recurring pattern in our lives. And what happens is when Israel, when the people of God, when we begin to go astray, God lovingly and graciously oftentimes brings about opposition in our lives. Now, we talked about this last week. Not all opposition and not all struggles are coming from God. Sometimes in a fallen, sinful world, there are difficulties and there are challenges that are outside of our control and that are not as a result of our sin. We made that clear last week. So not all opposition is the result of our sin. Take Job, for example. But sometimes, because of our sin, God will discipline because he disciplines those that he loves. And that's what's happening here. So the Canaanite army becomes an instrument in the hand of God to discipline his people. Now, like we said last week in the story of Gideon, when the people cried out for help, when the people acknowledged their need for God, their sin, and they began to turn away from it, the Lord would send a deliverer, a rescuer, a redeemer. And in the book of Judges, he raises up judges to free his people from the opposition, from the enemy. And so that's the context of the story here in Judges 4 and 5. And so God calls a woman. God calls a woman to be his spokesperson. She was, remember Deborah, a prophetess. She was a woman who spoke on God's behalf. Now, as Deborah, the mother of Israel, she, like so many other godly, faithful women throughout church history, under his authority and in the proper places as God calls and ordains, speak on his behalf. I think of just a couple of public figures in our day that have become quite popular. I think of a woman like a Beth Moore, maybe. Many of you know of her, a Bible teacher. Others may know of Priscilla Schreier, the daughter of Pastor Tony Evans. Another prophetess of sorts in our day who speaks God's word. By the way, both of these women, wives, mothers, joyfully submitted to the leadership of their husbands in the home and yet leading in so many ways outside the home and in the home of their children. I think of people like, again, all politics aside, these are just two people that came to my mind. I think of the judges of our day of sorts like Sarah Palin, maybe. Someone who's leading publicly in some type of governmental endeavor. I think also of a woman like Condoleezza Rice. People that God has gifted with leadership ability, and honestly, whether Christian or non-Christian, gifting, but certainly Christian women like a Beth Moore, like a Priscilla Schreier, leading out, using the gifts that God has given them supernaturally. You know, all gifts are given by God, whether they are supernatural for his people or just natural for all people. And so Deborah was a judge. The people would come to her for counsel, for wisdom, while she was there under the tree, Judges 4 says. And she encouraged a man like Barak to step up and to lead. And maybe, like we saw last week in Judges 21, that during this time, people were doing what was right in their own eyes. And so the men oftentimes would rather than stepping up to the plate and leading like they should have, needed the encouragement of a woman like Deborah, who went to Barak and said, "Lead, what are you doing? Step out." And he does. And Hebrews 11 says that he does so in faith. But one of the responses initially of Barak was, "I don't know. I'm not going to go, Deborah, unless you go with me." And in response, the Lord says, "Well, okay, Barak, I see your faith and your willingness to go, but because you've turned to Deborah and asked her to go with you, you're not going to get the glory. In fact, another woman is, and that's enter in Jael." And so Barak rises up, he leads God's people, Deborah by his side, this, I don't know, warrior princess, and they're going to fight, think about it spiritually with me, the enemies of God, the Canaanites. And to make application of that today, who are the enemies of God that are causing oppression in people's lives? Who are the enemies of God that are causing oppression in the lives of men and women, boys and girls? And who's going to stand up, both men like Barak and women like Deborah, and say, "No more. We're going to go to battle. We're going to go to war. not with guns and swords now in Christ, but with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, whether prophets or prophetesses, to speak that word, to teach that word, to disciple other people, to mentor men and women, and to say, no more. Women, arise. Men, arise. When the leaders lead, Judges chapter 5 says, the people rejoice. When the people follow, Judges chapter 5 says, the people rejoice. They sing. But somebody's got to step up and lead. And so, Sisera, the general, the evil opposer of God's people, thinks because he has 900 chariots that nobody can touch him. Now you may be saying, chariots? 900 iron chariots were the tanks of that day. You know, it was a long time ago. And they didn't have the military arsenal like we have today. And so these 900 chariots was like 900 tanks, the biggest, baddest, strongest, toughest. And so Sisera, this military leader, probably even in leadership above the political leader, which is how it works even in our day. Many times the military leader has more power and strength and authority in a government than even the president or prime minister or king does. And that's why you have a lot of coups and different things like that, even in our day. And so Sisera thinks he's strong, he thinks he's invincible, and maybe humanly speaking, he was. But God is over Sisera, and God is over all of your enemies as well. And no one has authority and power over the Almighty. And so he can take 10,000 men and a Barak and a Deborah, and he can defeat his enemies and his people's enemies. In fact, he can take a woman who was in a tent, Jael. And when Sisera is running and fleeing off of his chariot away from the army of God, he slips aside, and Jael comes out to meet him and says, why don't you come in here in this tent? Aren't you tired? Sit down. I'll cover you up with a rug. He says, would you give me some water? And like many women, she knows, if I give him some warm milk, he'll probably fall asleep. Is that one of your weaknesses, men? If she would have given him a cold glass of water, he might have stayed awake under that warm rug. She gives him some warm milk. Man, women know how to. And so, while she's there, Seth, did you bring the peg? It's up here. All right. While he was under the rug and after he had drank the milk, she went over to the side. And I was thinking last night, who in our congregation has a tent peg? Who is the Jael of our group? The male version. That would be Seth Richardson. And so I asked him, I said, would you bring me a tent peg? And I don't know if the one that Jael had was like this one, but I'm sure it was similar. And this sweet, kind, godly woman, does that register with you? This godly woman who, on behalf of the Almighty, in fighting his battles to give victory from the oppression against God's people who had cried out to him to rescue them, he took the tent peg. I'm sorry, she took the tent peg, and she took a mallet. And she went over there quietly. Now, I'm not going to do this to anybody. Braden, come up here and put your head right here. She took the tent peg. And while he was sleeping, tired from battle, thinking he was strong with his 900 iron chariots, thinking not only could nobody defeat me, but certainly not a woman in a tent with a tent peg and a mallet. And she takes the tent peg and she sneaks over there. And she put it right on his temple. And she takes it, maybe with both arms, though I'm sure she was a strong woman. Because you can be feminine and you can be gentle and you can have a quiet spirit and you can also be strong. Oh, that God would make my daughters, Anna and Grace, godly women who have a gentle and quiet spirit, who joyfully submit to the leadership if God gives them a husband, and yet who are strong and courageous and who are warriors for Christ. And she takes the tent peg and she puts it there. And on behalf of the Lord, as Judges 5 makes clear, she's blessed among women. She takes the mallet and swings it down, and it goes through his head and skull. And the Bible says, in case you didn't think it happened, he died. He died. Women, arise. And realize that the spiritual battle today, out there and in here, is real. And you too get to be a part of that. According to the calling of God in your life. And according to the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And with Christ in you, working through you, which is the only way to live faithfully in this life. Think with me, in case you're not convinced, of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, it's on your outline. Verse 17 through 18. If this was true for the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, how much more so for the New Testament, the New Covenant, where it says this in verse 17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Think about Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. This woman named Anna, verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna. Verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer. Think about Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Jesus not only had the apostles around him, male disciples, he also had female disciples. And notice the role that they have to play, at least in this instance. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them. By the way, the them is Jesus and the apostles. Huh. Women used by God, called by God to give financially, to provide for Jesus and the apostles. Go check it out. That's exactly what it is. So, to provide for them out of their means. Think about Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Which says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant." By the way, that word servant in the Greek is diakonos. Phoebe was a deacon. She was a deaconess of the early church. I know oftentimes in the South, especially among some traditions, that deacons are just men. Well, I'm going to go with the Bible over that. So serving and leading out in service was Phoebe, this diakonos in the early church. There's multiple examples, right? Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what the Bible is saying. The Holy Spirit empowers and gifts both men and women. Now, there are proper places for those gifts to function. And as 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 3 make clear the office of overseer, elder, pastor, who is teaching with authority in the church. So the office of overseer, elder, pastor that's teaching with authority in the church, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and 3 is for men. But under God's authority, there are many places of leadership for women, many places of leadership for women to prophesy, to preach, to teach, to lead in this war, this spiritual battle that we are in this world. And so men and women, arise. One of the things that I want to talk about as a church in the weeks to come is who among us might God be raising up to be additional elders, pastors in this church, men, and additional deacons and small group leaders and other expressions of leadership, men and women. And so in the weeks to come, begin praying, God, is it my time to arise? Is it my time to take on more responsibility? Is it my time? God, how are you calling me to not just sit back and listen and learn, but to step forward in light of all that you've taught me to begin to lead like Barak and to lead like Deborah and to lead like Jael? Now, it's Christmas. And yes, Deborah was a mother in Israel, but Mary too was the mother of Israel. You say, how was Mary the mother of Israel? How was Mary a mother of God's people? Well, I want to talk about it from two perspectives. First, Jesus is the Son of God, eternal and par excellence. Israel was God's chosen son, God's chosen child. And the story of Judges makes it clear that Israel failed, that the Son of God failed. In fact, the entire Old Testament tells us that Israel failed when tempted, failed. But the true Israel of God, the book of Galatians tells us, the true Son of God par excellence, God, the eternal Son, became a man and was placed in the womb of a woman who boldly and courageously carried him, Mary, gave birth to him in pain, in suffering, in agony. She too took up her cross in order to be about bringing victory to God's people. She had her calling and her part to play, and she recognized that Jesus, the baby in her womb, was her Savior as well for her sins and shortcomings and imperfections. And she, as the mother of God the Son, gave birth to the Savior of the world. And in that, she was a tremendous spiritual leader, wasn't she? She was a tremendous spiritual leader. God used Mary to bring about victory and healing and transformation to millions, billions of people throughout history. And in the same way, women, God can use you. How does he use us? The same way he used Mary, according to his calling for her life. By the power of the Holy Spirit who came upon her, and enabled by the Christ within her as both her Savior and her child. Luke chapter 1 tells it this way, and I'm done. Verse 28, the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one," the one that God had shown grace, the one that God had given a calling. "The Lord is with you." That's what makes the difference for Mary and for you and me. Verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? Verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, I am the servant, the diakonos of the Lord. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul, notice how she sings. Deborah and Barak sang, Mary sang. And she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Merry Christmas, men, and Merry Christmas, women, because Christ has come, our Savior and our Lord, and the one who calls us and gifts us all and empowers us to fulfill his purpose for our lives as we both rest in him as Savior and are used by him as servants. Let's pray.